Genesis, episode 3. We're looking into chapter 1, the creation week, the 6 days of creation week for our study series on Wednesdays. It's good to have you. We've got some interesting stuff to look over here in the scriptures with our organized study. Stefan Maia is my name. AddedSouls.com is the website. And we encourage you to subscribe over here on Rumble to the Added Souls channel. Leave a comment, share the link, all that kind of good stuff, right? So, I'd encourage you to check out the archived studies in Genesis if you've not done so already, if you're not up to par with where we're at. Episode 1 and Episode 2, we kind of lay foundation to trusting the text that we read literally in Genesis chapter 1 in Genesis as a whole. We looked at if it was a myth or if it was backed up by science, history, and all that kind of good stuff, inspiration, all that stuff. And we certainly have proven the case. And so I encourage you to go to episode 1 and episode 2 of Genesis Studies on Wednesdays to catch up. So let me see here. If there's anything I need to check. I want to make sure we're running on the live feed. Yeah, okay. That's going. That is going. Genesis chapter 1. Let's just get into it, shall we? I'll put it up on the screen here. Oop. Still dealing with sickness, so you'll have to forgive me. I'm a bit dull again today. It's kind of caught itself in the lungs and sinus and head and all that stuff. It's slow going, but it'll get there. It'll end eventually. Yeah. All right, Genesis chapter 1. So in episode 1, again, we looked at if the book of Genesis was a myth or if it was true history and something we can trust when we read. And we saw the evidence pointed to a book we can trust, obviously. In Genesis episode 2, we looked at the first verse, there in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that was an important piece of the puzzle, if you will, because if you don't understand this and you don't believe that, I mean, why keep studying? It's not going to give you anything because you've already decided you don't want to believe in it. That kind of stuff. So now today we move forward, of course, in the chapter. We're probably going to read through the chapter and just have a discussion and study about certain key verses there in the text. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So we have time, space, and matter, and all of those things scientifically must be simultaneous. They cannot be evolved one from another or one to another. It's an impossibility. It cannot happen the same. The same as saying that, you know, nothing exploded into something. Well, that's it's a scientific impossibility. It's illogical. It makes no sense whatsoever. And yet, sadly, that is the mainstream belief in the world of quote unquote science, which is no longer science. It's more of a religious cult. That has censored all opposition, has censored all critical thinking and reasoning with the data that we have, the science that we do have, the tool that we utilize to test out these things and reproduce these things and come to a conclusion that would be tangible. So you can't have time, space, and matter exist from nothing. It had to come from something. Something created something. That's the whole premise of the creation model. And that's why it fits better our worldview. I mean, look around. Everything we see has to have come from an intelligent creation or a mind that can create. Who built the chair you're sitting in? You know, who built the car you're driving? Who built the watch you're wearing? That kind of stuff, you know, just basic common sense. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. For the Christian mind, who understands the text and has investigated this kind of stuff, we know that there is a grand, powerful engineer behind all of this, a divine power. a great divine creator, and he created the heavens and the earth, all things together simultaneously in order, time, space, and matter. And the earth was without form, verse 2, and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God is an eternal being. He is in existence, has always been, is now, and will forevermore be. And so, prior to the formation of this earth that you and I live on, and before the formation of Adam and Eve, in the beginning here, process, God existed. He always has. It's a hard concept to think of as human beings, because what we see, and the only thing we've known is things that decay and die. Like, nothing lasts forever in our minds. I mean, that's the reality of our entourage, our surroundings, our existence here on this earth. Everything ends. And nothing is evolving, contrary to the voodoo science of these godless heathens. Things are not evolving. They're devolving. Everything decays, grows old, rusts, dies. But not God. God is forever, has been forever. And so the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God's creative process, his intelligent mind, had already prepared this process. He knew what he was going to do. It's not just a happenstance, knee-jerk reaction one day where God says, I don't know what to do, I'm bored today, let's just create something called Earth. It's not a happenstance, oops, I just fell into this creation process there, guy. Sorry, I didn't know what I was doing there. This was pre-planned in the mind of God from the very beginning. He knew what he was going to do and how he was going to do it and how he was going to deliver the message witnessed and recorded, of course, through the penmanship of Moses, speaking ages after the fact. Moses was not there at that moment, but he could, through inspiration, record for his people and the people he was writing to of the day how our origins came to be. And God, through this process, was able to hover his spirit, his words, from what was chaos into order. And he was in existence, and he saw these things. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. I could go into this narrative, a scientific narrative, but there's so much good material everywhere for that. I would like to take this study more on a surface level, with just a simple understanding. As you and I first read the text, you know, I remember that day you first opened the Bible and read Genesis. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So what was dark and in chaos became orderly and illuminated, where one could see. And God saw the light, that it was good. He saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So there would be a separation there between the two, something that could be recognized for the inhabitants of the earth that he will create in further coming days. Again, we've debunked the mind of evolution, whether it be through atheism or theism, because nowadays, you know, believers want to fellowship with the ungodly, so they'll say, well, we believe in God, but we believe God utilized evolution to create the earth, which is a farce. It's not true at all. It's fiction. It's a myth. It's not true. God, in 6 days, created the earth, and that's just what it is. He created it functioning, mature, old. And so God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. First day. I mean, there's nothing here whatsoever that would give room for anything that evolution would come peddling our way. Snake oil salesman, if you will. You know, there was must have been a billion years there. No. My kids can understand this language. It's understandable language. And when Moses wrote this to the people of the day, I assure you, they were not saying, well, maybe there was a billion years in between here where, you know, no. Why would God need a billion years? God spoke things into order. God doesn't need evolution to make things happen, okay? And so God called the day, the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. See, and also there's comfort in reading our origins, because when you look at what the world has produced as an answer to our origin, I mean, it's just it's a chaos, it's a mess. It has no purpose. There is no rhyme or reason with their worldview. We're just a bunch of animals. It, you know, came from nothing. We'll end up as being nothing, and that's it. It's a message of death. Evolution is a religion of death, and it has blind faith in time. God here is creating a message of life and a message of purpose and a message of beginning, creation and intelligence. And what a blessing it is as Christians to have tapped into this evidence and have studied this. I don't believe things at face value, obviously. I too once was of a mind, a godless mind. There is no God, and science is evolution, and evolution is science, and atheism is science. Well, once you remove yourself from the shackles of that little dungeon there and you start thinking freely, which is interesting because the masquerade of atheism is that they promote themselves to be free thinkers when in fact they are slaves. They can't think outside the box they've snared themselves in. Okay. So the hope here for Christians is beautiful because we know there is a God who is orderly. And he had a plan from the very beginning for us, creating this functioning earth for us and how it can be structured in a day format, a 24-hour format that, of course, structured the way we live now, here, even today. Obviously, the creation process is still well and alive today. Here we are walking on this earth. So the first day takes place, and there is a pattern to this first day. And again, there's no contradiction in the creation process here, but there is contradiction if you start believing in evolution, whether from the theist mind, which is a walking contradiction, but there, I mean, you can't have something created in the first day. Like, there's a process. Things must have, things were created in a structured pattern for each day. Okay. Anyways, let's keep going. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God, in the beginning God. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. The second day. So we have 2 days here, two literal days, 24-hour days that have taken place from this mighty, powerful, divine creator, this intelligent engineer. He's setting things in motion, and he's creating what you and I today take for granted. You know, the oceans, the rivers, the heavens, the earth, all of these things. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. You know, there's water within the heavens, and water in the earth, and all these things, of course, again, utilizing the tool of science, not voodoo science from the mind of the godless, but true science, which is the tool that points to these very facts being real. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. That's important. Let's highlight that one. After his kind. Whose seed is itself upon the earth. And it was so. So, from a supernatural origin comes a natural function that you and I are now subject to. the kind. And that's the difference in the intelligence of God compared to the wisdom of the world and man, who is godless now, tries to create. We're not species. It's not a deviation into the species language, which accommodates the evolutionist, the atheist. They created that. God created kind. Kind is easy. You have canine kind. You have feline kind. You understand the kind? Okay. Well, everything produces itself according to its kind. That's true today. It has always been true. Dogs are going to make dogs. Cats are going to make cats. You're never going to interbreed a dog and a cat together and make some kind of a strange thing. You're never going to have an apple seed produce a pumpkin after his kind. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. The system is functioning. Everything is in order. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Three literal 24-hour days. We got the heavens, we got the earth, we got seas, rivers, we got water, we got a whole bunch of stuff going on. We got vegetation, we got things producing according to its kind. There's a system now, a natural order that is in motion. And God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Structuring the season, structuring the forecast. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. You look at the galaxies, you look at the moon, the sun, the stars, the various planets out there and all these kind of things. It's just, it's beautiful. It's powerful. It's grand. It's not an accident. It didn't just come out of nothing. Again, it's amazing to me how some of the most intelligent people walking this earth are some of the most stupid people when it comes to understanding something so basic as this kind of science. Verse 16, and God made two great lights, the great light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Four literal 24-hour days. Creation process taking place. And again, we could get very intricate with the detail. That's what we've been doing actually on Sunday evenings over at the congregation here. We've been teaching an open forum kind of class where we get to discuss these texts and look a bit deeper into it. But for the purpose of this podcast session, we just want to have the surface understanding of it and look at how beautiful this is. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, with which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day, five literal 24-hour days. It's understandable. And everyone speaking of these days in the Bible speak of it as 24-hour days, literal days. Moses did that, and the writers of the New Testament. The minute you say these are not 24-hour literal days, you must throw the Bible out and burn it. That's why you have godless people who do that. And God said in verse 24, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after his kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. The importance of understanding this as Christians is what's going to give us defense. And again, I can't plug in my friends over at apologeticspress.org enough. They've gone through this text word for word. They've looked at the original language. They have so many studies and articles and videos and books, you name it. You must go to apologeticspress.org and get involved with their material regarding the book of Genesis. And so God said, let us make man in our image. And God said, let us make man in our image. God is one in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Mankind, or the animal kind, if you will, all things on this earth, the earth included, is subject to mankind. It's not the other way around, like these godless heathens are trying to make us believe. That somehow the animals are more important to us and the trees are more important to us. These extreme wacko environmentalists and these crazy ding-dong animal activists and these people, you know, they're contaminated by godlessness. They're very wicked when it comes to this side of their mind. They got a blind spot. The truth is, though we are to be kind to the animal, we are their masters. We rule them. That's all there is to it. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. That simply means we are created with eternal attributes, meaning we live on forever. Now it'll either be in paradise or in torment, depending on our decisions we make here towards the gospel. But we were created in that, with that characteristic. We are eternal. Now, these bodies, of course, and this existence on this earth comes to an end, obviously. But our soul goes to meet God. Our souls live on forever. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. It's not that we look like him or anything, but we are designed to his mind. Like, his mind created us the way we look like. Okay? Male and female created he them. Only two genders here, male and female. That's all there's ever been. Male and female. Liberals created all the other ones. Democrats, liberals, and their policies created all the other ones. Sin created all the other ones. But from the very beginning, there's only been male and female. And we have intrinsic importance as human beings. That's why the right to human life is so important, because God created us in his image. We have a purpose in life. There is hope for us, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. It's ours. We're supposed to use it to the further purpose of God. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. We don't serve the animals serve us. We don't mistreat the animals. But a dog is not more important than a human being. If ever we are put in the moral conundrum, it's always an easy decision. You always save the human being, even your enemy. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Six literal 24-hour days. Well, that's a lot of information. We've just gone through the whole chapter there, but in a nutshell, God's creation process takes place, and Moses is writing this for his people. And there is great hope in this, because we serve, obviously, a great and powerful God who can speak things into creation and order, number one, so we can trust him. He has an intelligent mind, and he cares. He's facilitated us with this functioning earth, this mature old earth, and we have all these beautiful things to take care of and to utilize, and we have intrinsic value as human beings created in his image. And that worldview of Genesis chapter 1 is such a better worldview than the worldview of the world, which is death. the religion of death, which has blind faith in time. Nothing exploded into something, and we're all animals, we're all species, and there's no rhyme or reason in life. There's no right or wrong. Nothing is objective, everything is subjective. That worldview, well, you want to know the fruits of that worldview? Take a look at the Western world now. Our kids no longer understand basic human biology. All they know is racism and hate, division and chaos. Liberalism, progressivism, fascism, communism, progressivism, all these isms, pluralism, relativism, emotionalism. They know nothing but all these isms, and it's a mess. Why? Because, well, we stopped believing in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. See how important this book and chapter is? It's very, very important. Very, very much so important. Without it, we fail. There's no moving forward without it. In chapter 2, in next session, we'll be looking a bit more into, I guess, an elaborate kind of chapter 2 elaborates a bit more on chapter 1, if you will, opens up the days and sees what's taking place there. And there'll be some interesting conversation, of course, with Adam and Eve. But again, Christians, listen. Science backs up this account. It does. And we have hope in this chapter because there's a system of origin that we can know we go back to that is objective, it's tangible, it can be held, it gives us purpose. That's important stuff. Everything, when you look at the model of the world, which is atheism and evolution, all it has is chaos and death. It really has nothing but death to offer us. And everything is chaos. It's not in order. They can't even explain how they got time, space, and matter through evolution. You understand that? You can't have time without matter. You can't have space without time. They can't explain anything. But yet they want you to, which is interesting to me because in a worldview where nothing matters, they certainly make it matter on everything they want to argue. Like ultimately, what they have no purpose in life. They're only animals. In their minds, of course. That's not a hopeful worldview. It's not a truthful one either. It's not a fact. They live in fiction world. And they call it science. And they hijack the Western world and its public way of life. And they've been teaching our kids they're nothing but animals. And now they're acting like animals. What do you think how this was going to end? So that'll conclude chapter 1 there in Genesis. And I wish I had a bit more depth and value to give to this segment, but I don't feel well and quite aggravated at it, to be honest with you. So that'll have to be the takeaway, the few takeaway points. Okay. 6 literal 24-hour days. The earth was indeed created by God in 6 literal 24-hour days. And everything was created in an orderly fashion from an intelligent engineer, a great, powerful, divine being. So we got these points down. Also, another point to take home in this chapter. So we still learned a lot. The animals are underneath us. The trees and the environment is underneath us. Okay? Don't let people make you think that trees are more important than little babies or that animals are more important than little babies. Human beings are the most important thing on this earth. That's all there is to it. Life is important. We were created in the image of God. So God is the source power that created everything in 6 literal 24-hour days. Mankind is important because we were created in his image. And we can trust his image because his pattern is is powerful and intelligent, structured. And animals, they live underneath us. They're not more important than human beings. We are not animals. Animals do not have soul. We have a soul. Animals were not created in that same image. They were created in a design that is similar. I mean, some of them have ears and eyes and nose and feet and stuff like that, paws, and but they weren't created with soul. We human beings are the only walking being, only kind, humankind, that has this ensoulment. So there's a lot in chapter one that we can take home in this short session, which is, it'll suffice, a half hour is good enough to do that. Again, I point you towards apologeticspress.org and the material they have over there in the Book of Genesis. It's wonderful. That all right? Guys, I appreciate you a great deal. Please stay focused and stay positive. The podcast itinerary goes like this. Mondays, we share our sermons. Tuesdays, we analyze the lyric from any song or artist. Wednesdays, we do our Bible study in Genesis. Thursdays, we have a topical discussion. And Fridays, we just kind of sit back and talk about current events and sociopolitical affairs. If you think that sounds good, subscribe to the channel here. Added Souls on Rumble. Share the link far and wide. Perhaps there are others who'd like to tap in to this kind of content. If you have any suggestions or if you have any concerns or if you'd like to get together and study, you can reach out to me, addedsouls@gmail.com. And if you are a Christian and you find value in this kind of material and you would like it to grow and continue moving forward, please consider supporting it. There are various ways in the show notes. You can sign up to addedsouls.locals.com. You can send a donation through PayPal, or you can send a check to the address in the show notes. This, of course, goes towards me and my family to have food, shelter, and clothing, which in turn, of course, goes to the gospel in this untapped mission field. Is that good? Is that all right? Lord willing, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Atlantic Daylight Time. Peace out.